fuck. Son of a bitch. This is Welcome to Flagrant 2. No easy buckets.
Now's is by assholes.
Now's by assholes. Water cooler commentary for a sportsman. We just started the podcast with like 30 minutes of fire.
I've never seen Andrew so hype.
It was like 6 minutes.
Alex, I don't want to hear it. Okay. I don't want to fucking hear it. Okay? You're focusing too much on that mic. You need a place to record. We came with fire. I mean, I've been dealing with a whole lot of fucking bullshit the last couple days. And then we just got a nice rhythm and we were fucking shooting on all cylinders. And then Alex stops us 30 minutes in. He's like, oh, we didn't have any of this recorded.
What that means, right?
Do it all over again.
That means you got to start sending Alex more dicks.
Yo, exactly. Get your dicks.
Get your dicks out. DM this man for fucking up some really good takes.
Get your dicks out. Get your dicks out, everybody.
That's how it goes, though. Like, if you're a comic, you record all your sets. If you ever are about to go on stage and you're like, nah, I'm not going to record this one. In like
that's the one that's
every
the
time you have the best fucking set.
Yeah, I'm so demoralized. I don't even want to rehash what we were just talking about.
Crestfallen. My man is crestfallen.
I am fucking crestfallen. All right, we'll start somewhere else. Okay, let's start with that guy, Jay Feely, putting a gun in the picture, in his prom picture with his daughter.
Yeah, fuck Jay Feely. How about that shit?
Really?
Why? Yeah. I thought it's so funny.
Come on, son. She's still going to have sex. Like, that is not.
Yeah, but he ain't going to take the pussy.
She probably wasn't going to take it anyway. You know
I'm
why?
I'm just saying.
Don't that look like a rapey white guy?
Bro, first of all, he looks older than the dad, almost. The son looks super fucking old.
Jay
Feely looked great.
Let's describe
like,
the picture because nobody
can
see it.
Akash, you are a resident Southerner here. I'm sure this is a pretty...
This is a Southern-ass
okay.
picture.
So let's just describe the picture. Jay Feely, who was a kicker for the
several teams. I think
Falcons.
Cardinals.
Wasn't he a QB, Jay Feely?
No.
That's kicker. AJ Feely.
AJ Feely. Oh, AJ. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so what he did is he posted a prom picture with his daughter and his daughter's prom date. He's in between them and holding... below his waist, mm-hmm. he's got a gun in his hand. And he goes, wishing my beautiful daughter and her date a great time at prom, #BadBoys. Now, for those of you who might be too young to have seen the original Bad Boys.
No, it's Bad Boys 2.
It's Bad Boys 2, yeah.
He fucked up Bad Boys.
He's referencing Bad Boys, the movie, right? Mm-hmm. So if you might not have seen Bad Boys 2, there is a scene where Martin's daughter is going to prom and the date comes and then Martin and Will play this game of bullying the daughter's date and making sure the daughter's going to be back home at a certain time. It's a hilarious scene. Ain't going to be no fucking tonight. It's great. Martin plays this real hood motherfucker even though he's in this like magnificent house with like a 10-foot fucking doorway.
Yeah. As a cop.
Yeah, as a cop, right? I love the cop salaries down south. They're worried about who's selling cocaine. Right. Apparently Will is if he's driving around a Murcielago. So, but
Mike Lowry.
Right? So, but what's so funny about this is it caused like, outrage and Jay Feely had to apologize. Of course, everything is about the apology now. When in reality, it's a very funny picture. Let's look at the reality of what's going on here. Are guns legal where he's legal? Where he is? Yes. Yeah. Does he legally own a firearm? Yes. Is he on his own property with that firearm? Yes. Is he choosing to make a joke of a picture with the firearm? Yes.
The boy looks like he knows it's a joke.
Of course the boy knows it's a joke.
They all know it's a joke.
No, but I'm saying, so if you're going to get outraged by it, the kid is smiling. He's like got like this...
I don't even understand what their outrage is. You're not allowed to want your daughter to be safe and be willing to protect her?
Yeah.
Like, what is the outrage?
I don't know. I feel
typical
like...
Typical male patriarch thinks he needs to protect the woman. Maybe he's just being a parent.
We do need to protect you. We're here to protect you. That's why we have more testosterone. If you were to protect yourself, you would have testosterone. You don't have any fucking testosterone. Okay?
I mean, I don't know. This is, I think it's just corny. You know what I mean? Like, at least get a bigger gun.
That's a great handgun. That'll do the job.
If it's corny, if it's not funny, that's fine. Whatever.
This white dude referencing Bad Boys is best for the culture.
That's for the culture.
Is it?
Who gives a fuck?
Is it?
Who gives
a
fuck? The point is, this is a joke. We are getting to the point where we're policing comedy.
Yeah.
This isn't fucking Russia in the 60s. Like, it's getting dangerous, dude. This is a clear joke. The son is into it. The daughter's into it. And this guy is apologizing. We're not acting. This isn't Cam Newton, by the way. This is a fucking kicker. A kicker.
But that's the thing, though. What if it was Cam Newton?
Say what?
Like, what if it was Cam Newton holding up a gun with his daughter? Like, hey, having
that. It's going to be an even bigger story, and it shouldn't be at all. My point is, we're so itching to be offended and outraged that we're going to ex-NFL kickers who even follows Jay Feely on Twitter or Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, you're already a loser if you're following an ex-kicker on Instagram, right?
Jesus Christ.
The only person following...
You are a fucking loser if you're following an ex-kicker on Instagram.
Come on. There's one kicker you should
Except
follow.
My homeboy, two of them.
Have you been on the rest of Instagram?
Janikowski.
There's hoes everywhere.
No, yo, listen, Janikowski, you got to follow because he's liable for a DUI or some kind of like drug-induced Instagram
and
story every once in a while.
Barstool, I forgot his name. The guy that right.
Pat McAfee.
Pat McAfee.
Pat McAfee.
He's a good
then there's
good
the
follow.
Dude who's now the punter, black
for
dude
the Broncos,
for
Marquette King.
He's fun.
Me.
He's good. I like him.
Yeah.
The guy who picked up the flag and celebrated.
Yeah.
Yo, so you know what I mean? Like, there's a few people you can follow, but. And that's fine. But this is absurd. It's like you're getting so upset. What is upsetting you? That there's a gun in a picture? Guys, guns are legal in parts of the country. People have them. It's a normal part of culture. Stop acting like he's pro school shooting or some
shit like that.
Only... It's not even the AR.
Yeah.
It's not even the assault rifle you're talking about. This is the type of gun you want people to have.
Yeah.
Every one of those kids, the little kid, David Hogg, who's on the news all the time, he's like, we need to get these guns out of here. I'm not talking about getting guns away from people. Yeah. He's saying, be a dad who
the
loves his daughter.
That guns are like as tall as little Bow Wow that shoot like 40 rounds a second.
The 21
Probably
Savage
shouldn't
guns.
Have those.
Yeah, don't have that.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's
Jay
funny.
Feely asshole of the week, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
but in a good way or a bad way?
Good way. That's the flagrant two asshole parenting. Of the week. Asshole seal of approval from me.
I don't know, man. It's
funny. Oh, good way. Yeah, I'm supportive of it.
I'm into the patriarchy, dog. I like that. I can't defend my girl with my fists. If I had a gun, it'd be a lot easier.
Well, that's the other thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, what if you're a small dad?
Yeah.
What if you're a small dad? You know what I mean? And you want to defend your daughter, and then you got some big bullying boyfriend?
You know what solves all this, right?
What is that?
You just kind of... I saw a tweet that kind of sums up
I don't even
my whole
talk
feelings.
About fucking Twitter.
What's going to Eurostep past that?
Go, you saw a tweet.
I saw a tweet that really sums up this generation. And it was like, the only people who have escaped this entire period of political correctness is Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A was like, we don't fuck with gay people. We're not open on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
We don't give a fuck what you say.
But
it's like we said what we said. They didn't apologize.
Chick-fil-A flagrant Hall of Fame.
The content is so good.
It's like the chicken sandwich is so, what, you're going to not eat this chicken sandwich?
Exactly.
You're not going to, because we're religious? That's what we're going to, all right, bet.
They didn't apologize. So good that they just, and they stood on their fucking ground, and that's what you need to do. You really need to do it, but they're so good. And they've got, I guess, God on their side. It's hard to tell people.
Yeah,
you know.
Can't go against God.
Exactly.
Here's the beauty of Chick-fil-A, though.
But, okay.
They never had to apologize because there's no big corporation telling them to apologize. Yeah. They are the big
corporation. They are the big corporation.
And the only people they answer to is God. And as far as they're concerned, God don't like it. So what you going to tell them?
Chick-fil-A was like, we said what we said.
That's
it.
That's it.
And we're going to open more shit in New York.
Yeah, and then there's going to be a line outside.
Most of these people don't
I think it's overrated, by the way, Chick-fil-A. I'm just going to put that out there.
I just respect that
they took a road trip, and I grew up in the South. No, we took a road trip. Remember our boy... was going fucking crazy about
Alex
Chick-fil-A.
Just said whoa again. I thought you didn't fucking record this part of the okay. Don't make any sounds that are
no
negative.
No sudden movements
no
today,
fucking
Alex.
Negative sounds from you.
It's a very
from
tense
that,
episode, all right?
You know what? I actually thought that might happen. I thought whatever we were doing, I was like, I should probably remind him to re-record. But I was like, nah, fuck that.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take that.
So,
I know this shit happens.
All right, so Chick-fil-A. Go on.
Yeah.
They don't have anybody to answer to. They have a direct connection
everybody
to the
else
people.
That apologizes.
The people go there. But they also have the content that the people want. And that's the reality. It's like, right now, Kanye is going to release an album.
Yeah.
Right? Now, right now, everybody is making, Kanye comes out and starts tweeting. Everybody's getting excited. Yo, Kanye's coming out. Then Kanye goes on his Trump or like Republican shit, right?
Yeah.
And then people do the same. Yo, that shit is fucked up. But if Kanye releases his album as fire, he gonna get that Chick-fil-A treatment. He gonna get that Chick-fil-A treatment.
That's my rule with musicians, man. Like, that's why I'm like, I've always been of this ilk, man.
You posted
like,
this earlier. The Kaz rule, if it slaps, it's good.
As long as it slaps,
yeah.
That's all I've ever wanted as a comedian. Yeah. I want the freedom of a gangster rapper. That's all I've ever wanted. Gangster rappers out here talking about selling drugs, killing people, doing all this fuck shit, right?
Yeah.
I say one thing. that could be taken out of context, you want to attack me.
Give me the freedom of every other form of entertainment. No, Game of Thrones is just rape all the time.
Sure. But like,
GTA is just beating up hookers.
Game of Thrones isn't acting like it's real.
Yeah.
Rappers are going, this is real.
This is me.
Yeah. And comedians, we have the illusion of this is real. I mean, we're comedians. We're saying all these things for jokes. Mm-hmm. Rappers are going, nah, I'm really about this shit. If I see you in the street, I want the smoke, da-da-da-da-da. And then rappers end up going to jail for that shit, or rappers end up dying. But whatever, they're saying they do it. And we're totally okay with it.
Yeah.
We find out it's not real.
We're upset that wait, you're not a killer?
Yeah.
You're not out here slapping bitches?
Moving bricks?
Yeah.
The best thing that happened to rap in a long time was Rick Ross being a CEO.
Yo,
that was one of the best things that ever happened, dog.
He comes out, it turns out to have a respectable profession, right? A respectable profession that we can all look up to and admire. Uh-huh. And then he's like, yeah, but that was just so I could have access to the motherfucking inmates and be getting that, get those drugs to the inmates. It's like, really, bro?
That's how messed up this generation is. It's like, we had to shame this man for making an honest living before anybody gave a fuck. Yeah. Who he was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But comedians, we're the assholes. Comedians, and let me ask you this question. You can't even name jokes of comedians.
Yeah.
You can't even name jokes of comedians. You could sing word for word songs of these people that have lyrics that are 10 times worse. And I'm not saying they shouldn't sing them. Sing them shits.
Yeah.
But let me sing my songs.
I'm going to sing them.
My songs are these jokes. I'm going to say some fucked up shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it on this podcast. I'm going to say it on Twitter. And some shit that didn't work out.
Yeah.
Some shit that's fucked up and like, hey, it wasn't funny. It didn't happen. But you can't let me not shoot.
It's art, man. It's comedic. Like, and that's why I always tell people all the time. Like, and people always tell me, like, yo, Kaz, how come you always going to say, you're not going to touch that? You're not going to touch that. Because most of the times, I got to walk into an office.
Yeah.
These guys, Akash and Andrew, are comedians.
We wear the cape. They wear a cape.
Like, that's why you let them be comedians and do what they do. This is their art. They've done this for years.
Superheroes break the law all the time.
Yeah.
But the police officer are like, all right, do your thing. You know what I mean? Because they got the cape on.
Bro.
I don't want to be a superhero. Motherfuckers judge superheroes all the time. Don't judge me. Let me fail.
You understand the metaphor.
Yeah,
the metaphor is we're choosing to be a comedian. And when you choose and when you put on that cape, you get certain freedoms with that.
Yeah.
Because we choose to go up in front of crowds and talk to people and make people laugh. And most people, that is the greatest fear that they have in life.
Of course.
Jerry Seinfeld got that great joke where they go, people's number one fear is public speaking, number two fear is death. And he goes, so that means if you were at a funeral, you'd rather be the one in the casket than the one giving the eulogy.
It's a freakish talent to have. I forgot who said it. It was either Chris Rock or Dave Chappelle, one of them. But they were like, I think it was Chris Rock. It was like, do you know how weird it is to have the power to speak to people? Like, everybody speaks. Like, the power to be able to just talk to many people at one time is an incredible thing to have. So, like, if you're a comedian, if you're famous, like, and he said this, like, yo, anytime I go somewhere with a bunch of people, they expect you to say something. They expect you to speak. And it's a weird thing to have. And then they ask him, like, oh, I was just at a funeral. And they're like, you know, ask him what to say. He's like, oh, I got a few laughs. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, and it's this boy who died, but like, he's still expected to talk all the time. And this is a very, very hard thing to do.
Bro,
are you going to say some things that some people may not like sometimes?
The punishment, yes, if we fail, should be you don't laugh. And that's it. That's the justice of what we do, especially because we do it in a live form. The punishment is you didn't like what I said. You don't laugh. That's it. Yeah. When you stand up and say that's not okay, or when you fucking blog about it and you try to, you're just overcorrecting. Yeah. You're doing, you know how the justice system locks up weed dealers for 50 years or whatever the fuck, and you're all like, what a ridiculous punishment. That's what you're doing to a comedian when you're trying to ruin his career for attempting a joke.
Yeah.
None of our jokes are funny the first time. Very, very rarely. You got to give us the power to work on it, to fail. We fail in public.
Give me the power to try. I just want the attempt.
Yeah.
You got to look at comedians like firemen. If a fireman goes into a building, comes out, and doesn't save somebody, you don't light him up on Twitter and say, how did you not fucking save that person?
Yeah.
He tried. He tried to say, and he's, and listen, I'm not saying we're even close to as brave as fucking firemen.
We're not heroes. We get it. Yeah.
Well, they're fucking true.
I see the next one. Like,
they're true heroes.
I'm a fireman.
Exactly. No, but these motherfuckers are true heroes. You know what I mean? Like, you can't deny it. You're running into a fucking burning building. You put your life on the line. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is it's the same type of situation where I'm thank you for even trying to do that.
Yeah.
And me, when I'm going up there, I'm trying to give you joy.
Trying to make you happy.
Tweeting something, I'm trying to make you happy. Yeah. Okay? So if you're not happy, kill yourself.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you don't laugh at a joke that a comedian says, don't laugh, don't watch, like, don't go to the show. Like, you don't have to go above and beyond to do extra shit. That just doesn't, it doesn't make sense to me. It never has.
Can I point out one thing unrelated? Uh-huh. The part of this podcast, the first 30 minutes that we deleted, that was the first time in months that we've opened with sports. Pure sports.
And that's why we had to delete it.
That's why we had to delete it. That's not our show.
God wasn't right. Having it. God said nah.
It's not what we fucking do.
Like, that's not a flavor to it.
Basically, we were talking about the NBA playoffs and how amazing it was and how, or was, is. It's the best playoffs have been in a while, and how everybody last season was really worried that these super teams were going to ruin the competition in the NBA. And what they've actually done is created 16 competitive teams, and all of them are competing at the highest level in the playoffs. And we are getting, I mean, like, every series has its own fun storyline.
It's like even,
every fucking series.
What was our biggest fear beginning of the season? It was like, oh, it's going to be Cavs and Warriors again.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Even if the Cavs and Warriors do eventually end up back in the finals again.
Yeah.
It'll be the most, there's intrigue here.
This is the toughest route
either of them have had to make. You know what I'm saying?
LeBron is playing 46 minutes a game.
They didn't sit the entire second half yesterday. The entire second half. While guarding the other team's best player. While having to score a majority of the big buckets towards the end of the game.
Oh, God, we missed our greatest... our theory about the white guys.
Oh, the
fuck, man. Alex,
we'll come
fuck
back to
you.
It. I'm sure we'll come back to it.
We gotta be good about it. This is a comedian problem. We never want to repeat shit.
Yeah.
But they didn't hear it, so just repeat. Everybody else in the world repeats things all the time.
It'll come back.
You know, that
it.
Is something I should we so should, this, we should share. We Real quick, we should share about that, about comedians. We have this thing where, like, we will repeat our jokes, but in the moment things we don't want to repeat because we don't want to feel phony. We don't want to feel as if, like, that is one of our jokes. We hold our jokes on high regard, so we'll repeat those, but just things that happen in natural conversation, I'm not going to repeat that.
That's its
own sacred thing, right? Because we appreciate, like, raw in the moment funny. Yeah. Almost like a freestyle rapper.
Right.
You know
exactly.
I mean?
Right,
you know, if you plan your freestyles, it's like,
you put on your Blackberry.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we just spit. Mm-hmm. But where I've noticed other people will, like, have their bits that they're talking points. So Charlamagne is great at this. He'll have his, like, talking point. He'll repeat on different platforms, and I've realized the value of that. It's like, oh, that's how you get that point out there in the world.
Yeah.
Repeat this thing that is good. Yeah. Anyway, so I've been trying to get over. But one point that we ended up bringing up was that, like, every team needs an Eastern European white guy with a
receding
hairline to be successful.
We had spoke about what Andrew had brought up.
Argentina, we're considering Eastern Europe.
It was the most intriguing series so far. And I just said, you know, just watching the dominance of Anthony Davis, because I haven't seen a big man just dominate in that big of a spotlight in a long time. Yeah. You know what I mean? And, and on top of that, we're talking about Nikola Mirotic. We're talking about
Bogdanovic,
Ginobili, the OG receding hairline man.
The first one.
Dog, if you're going to...
My man hairline been receding
Joe Ingles,
since
04.
Oh, yeah, Joe Ingles. Dude, no, his hairline is trash. But the greatest thing about Ginobili is he has that, like, Latin dude confidence from, like, the loving mother. That, like, he's been bald on the top, and he just let it be. He didn't even buzz it down. He would do the thing where he would, like, make it short... around it. Like, it would almost emphasize it more. I know, like, nothing.
Usually get to that point, you hit, like, the Charlie Brown comb over, like, right here.
Or the Lance Stevenson doing the paint.
Yeah. The Carlos Boozer, friend of the show.
Shout to Carlos, man. Shout to the friends of the show.
I give him shit about that all the time, man. He's got it.
We got to get Carlos on the show.
Definitely.
Absolutely. He can sit next to one of you guys, so that shit don't get on my shirt. We got to ask him why he was doing Carlos. Carlito, porfa, Carlito, why? You are a millionaire.
He isn't Spanish, though. He's black, dude.
Hey, Carl, let me know what you say. But for real, Carlos, why would you think that you need to adjust your physical appearance at all? You are a multimillionaire athlete.
To be honest,
from what I heard. Yeah.
It had to be a girl.
It wasn't... I think it was right before the game.
Yeah.
And I don't think he knew. Like, I think fresh out the chair, it looked fine. But I think, like, once, like, the court spotlight came in, just kind of like, it was like, you know, when, it was like when you put some armor on something and, like, the light hits it and it's super slicky. and greasy.
You know how crazy you look at girls? Your hair in a hotel bathroom, and they always have the lights right above the
yeah,
mirror.
It's always nice, perfect lighting in a hotel.
Not for me. That should look right through my hairline.
Really?
Oh God, it's frightening. Yeah, I'll check out of a hotel if it has bad hairline. I swear to God, there's certain hotels in LA I'll never go back to because I look and I'm like, why is my hair patchy? Oh, never go. Man. Bye. Never see you again. W.
Are you the receding hairline white guy on your basketball team?
I might be, man. Yeah, I might be.
No, your hairline's pretty. It's pretty there. Like you're you know. It's not
No, my hairline is phenomenal, but I take a pill to make it phenomenal.
But
okay?
Still, these guys don't. They're just like, fuck it.
Wait, we also remember we were talking real quick before about how you said that my lips look like Alvin Gentry's. Like, that's how
I did not say that.
Y'all did say that about my lips. Y'all were like,
nobody said
Schultz's
this.
Lips are so
full. You're not going to use Alex's mishap to your advantage right now.
Y'all said, Schultz, your lips are so thick. They look like Alvin Gentry sucking his teeth over a bad call.
Yo, they said that, Drew.
I was the only one who didn't get on you for not recording.
That's what we're gonna do. That's what we get for not fucking with you.
He was the one that was the hardest on you.
Yo, you can't tell me that Alvin Dretschy and myself have great mouth, bro. You know what I mean? Alvin
does have a full mouth.
Son,
though,
when he goes time out, you'd be like, yeah, you called that. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did, Alvin.
Oh my god.
I was watching one of the games, maybe it was game two, yeah. And I'm watching the end of the game, and then my girl sees, she's like, watch, she's in the room. She sees Alvin Gentry, and then she goes, is that OJ?
Oh my God. What?
Yeah. Oh. She knows nothing about sports.
Yeah,
I was like, what the fuck are you saying?
Nah, OJ's lips way thinner than Alvin Gentry's in my lips, so.
Man, he's not black, he's OJ.
Yo,
man.
Dude. Telling you, Alvin Gentry, man, in that fucking timeout.
Oh, man. But we were talking about that before. It was like, you know, one of the most intriguing matchups was that New Orleans and Blazers matchup, how the Blazers just got completely annihilated. And before the playoffs, maybe the Warriors aren't really taking the Pelicans seriously, but now you see what they did to CJ McCollum and
it was
Lillard.
The Blazers were everybody's favorite backcourt. You knew the Warriors were the best, yeah. But your favorite was probably the Rockets, maybe the Blazers.
Yeah, you're right.
I overlooked them.
God, they're so
but they're up there. They were up there as everybody's like, yo, CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard.
They were the baby Splash Brothers.
They got their ass ate like Andrew. Just fucking done, dog.
But the first time. When it was wet, not that dry ass.
The second time when they didn't enjoy it.
Oh, the dry ass
the second time
tongue?
When it was rough for him.
Cat tongue back there.
It was gross. It was gross to watch, dude. But if I'm the Warriors, I'm not overlooking the Pelicans, but I definitely am like, all right, Steph, you good yet? You ready? When are you coming back, dude? Oh, like, we're going to need you.
If they lose that first game, it's going to be a conversation with Steph.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. I think they'll do the thing they did with Embiid, which was, we'll sit you for the first one and see how things go.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think they play Embiid if Embiid doesn't go on Instagram stories.
Oh, he has to lobby his own?
Yeah. Like, I think, I mean, like, obviously, they you never want to... I guess, like, when you've all played sports before.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's certain people that, like, take their time to come back to injury. And you know, I'll just wait for the doctor to tell me when I'm ready to go. But there's other players who are like, yo, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to. It's easier to get somebody to come down than it is to get someone to get up.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't think, I'm not, you know, Steph's been to 3 straight finals. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't need any more getting up. He's not getting up for the second round of the finals. You know,
yeah.
This is Joel Embiid's first playoff game. The dude's probably chomping at. He's like a fucking pit bull in a fucking kennel, just like, and it's like, you just wait, and he's growling, and then they just fucking let him out. And he just goes wild on the heat. You know what I'm saying? But Steph, you know, he's been here before, and it's like, you know, I'll take my time. I'm not saying that's the energy he's keeping, but I would much rather have the guy with the hunger, the Embiid, who's too young to know the pressures of the playoffs, and too full of himself or too, you know, uppity to somebody who's missed so many playoff games due to injury and, you know, being on minutes restriction to be on this, that, and the third. And he's like, yo, fuck, I just want to play.
Yeah.
You know? So if you know, you look at Drew Holiday and Rondo, what they did to McCollum and Lillard, and, you know, the Warriors lost to the Spurs yesterday, it's like, all right, they'll probably win this next game. But if they don't,
I've been seeing that arrogance from the Warriors all year, and I'm not saying they're not going to win it, but there is this arrogance to them where, like, they came out sloppy. Coming out sloppy.
Yeah.
And they might be so overwhelmingly talented that it don't matter, but the league is catching up to all the super teams. Whatever super team you get out there, the league will catch up.
And I'll tell you this much, man, like, the Spurs without Kawhi, They're not better than the Pelicans right now. And they lost to them yesterday. Granted, it's a gentleman's sweep, and they're at home, and they're, right. you know, Pop's going through his thing right now.
Yeah, R.I.P. Pop's,
Pop's wife, Popovich.
I had no clue he was even married. I found out he had a wife when it was announced that she passed. Yeah.
Oh, she was like, apparently, she was like their mom to them, dude. Mm. Like, you know, that's a very family-oriented organization. So guys like Tony Parker, Ginobili, like,
yeah.
all these people probably known her for
well,
like,
why better limp his ass to that funeral is all I know.
Dead ass, dude. Dead ass. But, man, it's crazy to if the Spurs win this next game, and I don't think they will.
They're not gonna.
If the Spurs win this next game, or the Pelicans beat the Warriors in the first game, how much pressure is on Steph Curry to like not just get back, but like you got to be back and be Steph?
Spurs
Curry.
Win the next game. It's still 3-2. I don't think they give a fuck.
Yeah,
3-2, and they got one more at home. I mean, the next game is at home, so they're gonna win. To be honest,
you know what it is? It's reminded me, and I hate to bring up Knicks talk, but it's reminded me of that one Knicks year. Where I think they're like the second seed in the East, or third seed in the East after the Heat or something like that. That one good season they had when they had won like 50 games and they came to the Celtics and they wore all black suits and they were like really over fucking confident.
Yeah.
And then they lost that one game that they should have won. Right. And then, you know, it was one of those games where it's like, you know, you close the team out when you close them out.
You know what it reminds me of a little bit, actually? 2011 Lakers. They were coming off the championship.
Mm-hmm.
This is the year they got beat by Dallas. That's why I remember it. And yeah. I also just always hated the Lakers. So I would like hate watch Kobe.
Yeah.
But they lost a game to the Hornets. And Chris Paul just kind of took over. It was game one.
Yeah.
But I was like, how the fuck are y'all losing to the Hornets?
Yeah.
They were a 2 seed, I think the Lakers were.
Yeah.
And the Hornets were a 7. And it just kind of reminds me of that. And like, all right, you're the champs. And this team is maybe the greatest team ever,
mm-hmm.
but you just look a little sloppy.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. You don't look like we still want it. You might still get it, but you don't look like we still want this.
I still think the Warriors win if they fall face the Pelicans, but there's a lot of pressure on Steph to come back and be Steph. Because even Steph at his best right now, like.
More pressure on Steph or Anthony Davis?
I don't think there's any pressure on Anthony Davis. They already got out of the first round. They swept the Blazers when they were the underdogs.
Nurkic is better than any front court player that the Warriors have.
Yeah.
Outside of maybe Draymond.
Sure, no, Anthony Davis is going to, because my concern with the Warriors is playing the Warriors, and imagine if they had Boogie, even though Boogie's a weird type of player, but the issue with the Warriors are how you're supposed to play the Warriors if you don't match up on small ball, because nobody is.
Inside.
You beat them up inside, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what Pop tried to do, if you guys watch, right? They were doing that high-low, mm-hmm. they were running the high-low, and they were just getting in position. They were getting Aldridge in position, and he was eaten.
Yeah.
He was eaten. They were getting him in position every single time and just bully. Yeah. Now, if you have Boogie and Anthony Davis to do that, it's going to be very hard for them to small ball when you have to have two bigs out there to defend Boogie and defend Anthony Davis.
Here's my thing. I think Anthony Davis is enough.
Like, and he might be
enough. Like, you know, there's certain chemistries that, you know, granted they did play well together, but sometimes the middle gets clogged or whatever. You don't know. They're both kind of stretch fives as well. They can both hit the outside shot, so you never know who does what. But you know, Miritich is stretching the floor. He's shooting outside jumpers or driving or whatever. And Anthony Davis is owning that paint. And he is not LaMarcus Aldridge. He's twice the player LaMarcus Aldridge is. Like, I think this goes 6, maybe 7.
Wow.
I think
one thing about the Warriors, I think the Warriors play the level of their competition. Mm. And I think it's similar when you're sleeping with a girl that you feel like you're doing her a favor by being with her versus a girl that you feel like you might not deserve.
Mm.
And I feel like when you're sleeping with a girl that you think that you got more going on, man, you don't put the same effort.
Explain.
You don't. Like, I'm not gonna use your pussy. I'm not gonna do all these extra shit. I'm not gonna do all these things. It's like, let's just fuck. We'll get it over with. Like, we're not seeing this go anywhere.
Nowhere.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
But a girl that you see might be better than you, that you might not deserve, that you might see a future with,
and you're shooting pulling out of your range.
All the stops when you're shooting out of your range, right? Yeah. So once I think the Warriors are going up against competition that they think could give them a run for their money, I think you're going to see them firing on all cylinders.
I think so.
And right now, I just think that they're going through the motions because they know at any point in time they could either lock down or go on a tear for a 40-point quarter. Mm. I really feel like they're that confident, even without Steph. So
Here's the thing, though.
The New Orleans, the Pelicans, I think, will test their confidence. So they might win a couple games, but I think they're going to make the Warriors go, oh, shit, we need to step it up.
And it's their backcourt. I mean, Anthony, no one's stopping Anthony.
The real X factor is Rondo.
Yeah, that backcourt, dude. Rondo and Holiday are fucking dogs.
Yep.
And they're going
to
be...
Well, Clay's going to be able to handle Holiday.
Clay could... I don't know.
But you don't think Clay's one of the better defenders in the league?
I think Clay can handle Holiday. Can Holiday handle Clay?
That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking offensively. I'm talking defensively. You know what I mean? They're two bruising guards. Like, they're not pretty. They don't play pretty at all.
So you think Rondo will just bully Steph?
I don't think he's going to bully Steph. I think he's going to bother Steph.
I think Rondo will run Steph through picks until his ankles give out. Yep. And I think that's what they should do. Imagine Steph just running into Anthony Davis
over and over.
Mm-hmm. And if you get that switch, if you're getting Draymond on Rondo and Davis
on Steph,
it's food for both of them.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I think Rondo's cooking up Draymond.
I don't know if he's cooking
Draymond. Rondo's so bad offensively.
Yeah. But he gets to the basket well. He's effective again,
and he finishes very well at the basket.
Okay, yeah. I'll take that. I'll accept that. I don't know.
But I don't know, man. Like, I think Anthony Davis is so fucking good, dude. Like, bro. I don't know if I've ever seen a more complete big man in my life. There is nothing this motherfucker cannot do on the
basketball. I didn't tune into entire games this series. I really wish I did to see Anthony Davis and what he's doing.
He's a created player.
Bro,
he's 7 feet. He has handle. He has range.
He has a three.
He dunks everything.
Yo, Rondo
just throws
it up in the air. He just throws it up, and then it's like watching Dez a few years ago.
Right.
Really, it is. Just throw it up, man. And there's certain players you could just throw it up to, and they're going to come down with it. I mean, Owens.
Yeah.
There's certain guys you would just throw it up to, and that's what it feels like. Bro, he just throws it up, and he's so much bigger and more athletic than everybody else that's on the floor.
Right.
He just snatches out of the fucking sky, dude.
It's so weird, dude. Like, I don't know how old this picture is, but he's much bigger now than he was in this picture.
Yeah.
And this picture can't be more than 2 years old.
Yeah.
Like, the dude is under 25 years old.
So what happened?
He's still getting... Who?
This year. Why did he get good this year?
I mean, he was always good. I think he's just...
Yeah, he's always been good. He's always been cool. He hasn't been... Andrew said this before we had to re-record.
Mm.
Is he finally the player we thought he was going to?
Mm.
This is the first time he's that guy that we're all like, this is a transformational player.
Yeah.
We all, like I've always said on this show, I've been critical of Anthony Davis. I was like, I think he's going to get injured. I think he's going to break down. And what I'm starting to believe is maybe he was saving himself.
My theory is the Boogie trade kind of slowed down what could have been him doing this all year. I think he was still kind of doing the push and pull with Boogie. Now it's like, Boogie's great. Probably.
But why was he injured? Why was he always falling apart?
Yeah, he was always hurt.
Crying?
I'm not talking about the ground.
To Kaz's point, though, he didn't save himself for the playoffs. Once Boogie went down, AD started playing.
Yeah, that's when
his back half of the season, people have been taking notice.
Right, but why? What was it about Boogie going down? Because he could have been playing like that beforehand, but he wasn't.
Not really, man, because here's the thing, like, When you play like you and you see it with a lot of these super teams, whatever, right?
Yeah.
It takes a while to gel.
But Boogie got there a year ago, right?
Yeah, during the All-Star break, so like they didn't really have time.
But that's what
I'm
saying. Boogie hadn't been. I think Andrew's question is Boogie was only there for a year.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis has been in the league for 6-7.
Yeah.
So normally players by their third or fourth year. It's like, oh, that's who this motherfucker is.
I mean, Anthony Davis wasn't no slouch, though. He was averaging like 27 a game.
He wasn't this.
Like, clearly he wasn't this.
He was averaging 27 a game on a bum team like Kevin Love was averaging over 20 on a bum team. Like, this is 40 on a winning playoff basketball team.
Yeah.
That's
the third
different.
Seed in the West, and you swept them.
And this is the superstar level talent that we always thought that
he was never top five in the league.
It's LeBron level dominance.
Yes.
Where it's like, as long as I got this dude on my team, I have a shot at winning this series. And it's like, you can put him in there with anybody right now. And it's like, I can't even. So I could probably name a starting lineup, but give or take a few players. But he's that good now.
Here's a question I've been wanting to ask. So I'm almost glad we got to re-record in this sense.
Mm.
He stepped up when Boogie went down, right?
Yeah.
Boogie's a free agent. Do you try to do some kind of sign and trade with Boogie where you get something back, or do you commit a max to Boogie?
I don't think they're going to re-sign him.
I don't know, man.
I don't think they're going to re-sign him. I think that it's not that they don't like.
So if you don't,
Boogie,
you just let him go, or do you try to sign and trade?
I think you let him go.
I think they. I don't think he played himself into a max deal with New Orleans because they're like, hey, we got Davis. So if you want to come back on the cheap.
This is going to be fucking interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Boogie's not going to want to come back for the cheap.
Boogie
knows
a max.
He'll
get a max,
but
absolutely.
I don't think New Orleans wants him, and I think that Boogie's going to end up being one of those Carmelo-type players, you know, where it's like, wow, he's incredibly gifted, really special, he can score, but does his style of play help the team and elevate the team? And I don't really think it does. Anthony Davis, yes. Anthony Davis, because he can play off the ball. He can come off fucking screens. He can roll a basket, dunks. Like what he does in that game was sensational. I was watching was unbelievable, dude. Like you said, it was the first time I've seen a true big man dominate since Shaq.
Yeah.
If LeBron says I'm leaving and I'm willing to go to New Orleans, if you're the Cavs, it's the only fucking thing you can do.
Not for nothing.
Let him go or do a sign and trade with Boogie.
Not for nothing. That's been a spicy take going around lately. It's like, dude.
It's going on. Don't act like I didn't steal that from nobody. That's our take.
No, that's our take.
That's a flagrant take.
That is a flagrant. Dog,
Kawhi, that was the other thing I was thinking.
If I'm LeBron James, if I'm Kawhi Leonard, if I'm Paul George, I'm looking at this. I'm like, like if you're an elite wing and you're a free agent this year,
it's gonna have to be a sign and trade.
LeBron needs a point guard that can shoot. Rondo can't shoot. LeBron needs a point guard that can shoot.
But maybe LeBron doesn't want to be. I don't think LeBron wants to do everything anymore. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's a fact.
I think he's this series has made it painfully obvious that LeBron does not want to do everything.
What the fuck are you playing 82 games for? Yeah. I've been wondering this the whole time. Yeah. Did you not know what was going to happen in the playoffs, dog? You're a genius, and you didn't see this coming?
Wait, what?
You're going to have to carry your fucking team every night in the playoffs?
LeBron's had to do
everything. Take a goddamn break, man. Yeah. You're playing 40 minutes a game against fucking...
Dog.
Fucking Kevin Love can't do shit. Dude, Kevin is stinking it up.
I have never been a Kevin Love fan, and when he fucking grabbed his hand and stormed off the court, I was like, this is the problem with Kevin Love.
Again.
Oh, yeah.
He too soft, man.
Yeah. I don't know. It's
got too much hair. Hairline isn't bad enough.
This is actually the most on board I've been with Kevin Love.
Really?
Yeah,
but I still just, I mean, he's just
stinking it up in the playoffs, man. I think he's one of those guys that he gets exposed in the playoffs. He just doesn't have that. He's like, he has regular season athleticism.
Nah, I think.
Yo, I saw the finals last year. I saw him trying to post up Klay Thompson, and he couldn't move Klay.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck?
But regular season,
that's a two guard.
Regular season, you're not fighting as much. Yeah. Regular season, you're not putting as a defender. You're not risking your body as much. But you're not doing what you got to do.
You can't move
Come playoffs, everything gets a little faster. Mm. You're all of a sudden, those passes that you go across court, there's somebody in the passing lane.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're getting picked up at half court. And it's a little bit different. It takes a little bit more pressure on your body to hold up. And I think Kevin starts to break down. And his lack of athleticism, his lack of speed really starts to showcase
itself. What's really funny to me?
What's that?
Kevin Love, to me, has always been who he is. Like, he is who he is. It's just making me realize how much Isaiah Thomas would come in handy right now. How much he misses Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
How much he misses even... To a lesser extent, Dwayne Wade.
Fucking, do you see how Derrick Rose is playing?
Derrick Rose, dog.
Derrick Rose is hooping.
He looks like Derrick Rose.
Yeah,
man.
It's like, dog, people who can
create Derrick Rose.
Their own bucket. The people who, like, he didn't chase him out, but he had four players in the past year that, for better or worse, you can give them the ball.
Yep.
And be like, go score. Rodney Hood can't do that. Jordan Clarkson sometimes can do that, but not to their level. J.R. Smith can't do that. Kevin Love can't do that. Larry Nance can't do that. Nobody. Kyle Korver can't do that. Cedic or Cedot, whatever the guy's name, they're receding white guy.
Yeah, Seti Osman.
Seti Osman can't do that. It's literally a team built on pick and roll brawn. Shoot or shoot. As soon as I pass the ball to you, you better fucking shoot.
And that's why LeBron is playing 46 minutes a game.
But that is what he wanted.
Yeah, but
GM LeBron is the worst LeBron.
Sure, but the reason, look, there's obviously benefits to that. I mean, LeBron did want to have a Irving type.
Yeah, he didn't want Irving to go from what I've read.
And they did want to have, what's his face come in and play? But he just wasn't playing well. He brought in Wade for that reason. He brought in guys who could score off the ball, and it just wasn't working well.
It wasn't working out, no.
So, look, I don't know. I think now is a perfect time for our first advertisement.
Oh, snap. We got ads, though. Yeah. Let's get that that mid-roll.
Let's go.
It up.
Keep it tight one time.
Go for it.
Listen, guys. Audiobooks are a great sidekick for summer activities like hiking, running, road tripping, enjoying downtime outdoors, and more. I know how much the Flagrant 2 Asshole Army loves hiking.
This is true.
And running. And
I love hiking and running.
Road tripping.
I'm always down for a good road trip.
That's why Kaz is always going to those white states.
Exactly. What do you think I did in Seattle?
And with the largest selection of audiobooks on the planet, Audible lets you fill your summer with more stories like James Comey's A Higher Loyalty, Truth, Lies, and Leadership, fellas.
What's up?
James Comey's new book is dropping. Now, that's a hot-ass mixtape. You want some fire takes? You want some flagrancy? Because in Higher Loyalty, former FBI Director James Comey shares his never-before-told experiences from some of the highest-stakes situations of his career over the past two decades of American government.
Oh, gosh. And you know what he's talking about, folks.
That pee-pee on Trump. Okay? If you want that pee-pee on Trump story, you're going to get that from Comey. Exploring what good ethical leadership looks like and how it drives sound decisions. Okay? Obviously, we're all interested in what's going on with Comey. What's been happening in the White House? What's been happening in America? Mm-hmm. What's been happening behind the scenes? Is there Russian collusion? Is there not?
Is there a P-tape?
Is there a P-tape? Is there some shit with Hillary? Or is there not?
That's sexy, man. It's here's like the it's thing. Candlelight reading, though.
As an Audible member, you'll get a credit every month. Good for any audiobook, regardless of price. So you become a member of Audible, right? Audible is this service that has all these different books. Imagine Barnes & Noble, but it's audio.
Nice.
You become a monthly member of that shit.
You know you're too stupid
you
to read?
A free fax. You're too busy. You're too busy.
Yeah,
you're putting up shots.
Good
you're putting
spin,
up shots.
Good spin.
You know what I mean? So basically, and then you get a free book regardless of price every month from that. And if you didn't like your audiobook, you can exchange it, no questions asked. Whoa. Whoa, guys.
That's a game changer, right?
Whoa, guys. I might finish a book and realize I didn't like it. I might have to run it back with a different book. I gave it to the end. That's like when you order like a chicken sandwich and you leave one bite.
It's like, no, I didn't like the sandwich.
You just leave the garnish. You're like, yo, I didn't like that sandwich, yo. Take that back. Give me the tuna. Plus, your books are yours to keep, okay? You get to keep them. Go back and re-listen to them anytime. Mm. Even if you cancel your membership. Did you hear that?
That's actually pretty
crazy. Even if you can't, it's yours.
Yeah.
Okay?
We just want y'all to read, man.
Better yet, you can switch seamlessly between devices, picking up exactly where you left off, whether it's on your phone, through your car, from a tablet, or at home on an Amazon Echo. See what I did there? Start a 30-day trial. And your first audiobook is free.
Yeah.
Okay? Just go to audible.com/flagrant or text flagrant to 500-500. That's Audible, AUDIBLE.com slash flagrant, FLAGRANT. I'm spelling that out because you guys get audiobooks and maybe like Akash said, don't know how to read. Or you text flagrant, FLAGRANT to 500-500. That's 500-500.
Tell me sent you.
That's right. You can do it with audiobooks and you can do it with Audible. All right. If you want to support this podcast, support what we do, check out that Audible membership. Let us know what the fuck you think about it. All four of us are getting it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and real talk, you got a subway commute if you're a New York listener. We got a big fan base out here. You got to drive to work. And especially with this Comey thing, the only thing that bothers me more than politics is people who don't know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Listen to the man who knows what he's talking about.
Exactly. There you go.
Thanks. And then after that, read Trump's Rules of the Negotiation or something. What is that?
Whatever the hell.
Whatever that book he has. Balance yourself.
Fire and Fury. I don't know.
Fire and Fury. Then go read Kanye's new book that's going to come out where he talks about how much he loves both of them. It's
fine. I lost count how many times about how many people listen to us on their commute, whether they're driving, whether they're going to the subway, whatever.
Or at work.
Or at work, exactly. Shut up. You know, if you want to balance out the flagrancy that we talk about here, go on Audible, download some books.
My favorite tweets and stuff and DMs and all the comments and stuff to get are the ones where they say that people were looking at them funny at work.
Yeah.
When we were doing the Godzilla thing last week, and they said that they were fucking crying at work.
The best.
And I just love the... I just just love imagining someone in their office at this job that their fucking mind is just falling into motion, but they're doing it because they've got to make an honest living.
Yeah.
And then us just bringing some joy to them and everybody else in the office going, why aren't you depressed like me? What the fuck is making this guy or girl so happy?
That's how the army grows, goddammit.
Yo, I got people.
That's how it grows.
I got people who put it on speaker. Like, there are people who say that they work at like an auto shop or one of these places where they can just have it out there on speaker. Yeah. There's no fucking rules.
Yeah.
And they just get the whole office listen to that shit.
That's awesome.
That's what's up.
It's hot.
Throw it up. It's hot. Speaking of flagrant two effects.
Yes.
More NBA players throwing up the flagrant.
Yes.
Lance Stephenson keeping up the asshole.
Yeah, asshole keeping super tight. Shout out to Lance
Stephenson. Shout out to Lance Stephenson.
Real Brooklyn loose asshole zone, on Coney Lance
Island. I see you Lincoln High School.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
We've been, and also, you know, we should talk about, I think we'll get into it through our no smoking section. Obviously, this week's no smoking section goes to Ben Simmons and my man James Johnson. Now, Covington fouls balding white guy on Miami Heat.
Nick Johnson? No.
No, no, Dragic.
Dragic
going to the basket. Mm. I thought Dragic kind of flopped on
it.
But
he's
whatever.
European. He'll flop.
Exactly. He's going to flop. Yeah. They know how to do that, right?
Yeah.
So do you think we flop less in America because we don't have healthcare? Maybe they're so willing to fall down.
This will cost me.
Someone's going to pay for it. Yeah. If I fall, I could hurt my wrist on the fall. I can't rush that. I'm going to stay on my feet. So that's why we're tougher, because we have to be. It's not even a question. Anyway, Covington, right after that, James Johnson goes at Covington and pushes Covington up against the stanchion of the basketball hoop, the rubber part. Now, I think Johnson and Covington are friends because Johnson pushed him there and then they kind of looked at each other and he kind of like backed off of him. And Covington was like, it's all good, because immediately Ben Simmons came to Covington's aid.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnson is not friends with Ben Simmons. And if you look at Covington's face in the background, he's smiling, going, come on, guys, chill. So I think James and Covington might have some.
They probably
sort
have
of,
some rapport.
Yeah, some like.
It's one of those like, it's one of those like, if you
they
run
went
into
to karate
somebody,
school together. So,
So that's what happened, right? Yeah. It's like, so, and then all of a sudden he grabs up Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons is acting like he was going to do something, and they have the classic NBA almost fight. But what people don't realize about James Johnson is that he's a trained MMA fighter.
Yeah.
I think he's got a 7-0 MMA record or something like that. This guy's actually put in the fucking work, and he would demolish
Ben Simmons. Not even making eye contact.
It looks like Ben Simmons realized that he fucked up immediately. Covington's like, bro, please, bro. James Johnson is
Ben Simmons looking for his coach. He's like, y'all gonna break this up? Y'all gonna make this an almost fight or what? What's good?
Yeah, he was like way in the danger zone at this point. Like,
this is the thing I'll do where I know.
Even Eric Spoelstra's over there like, please, God, don't karate chop.
Johnson is a problem, man. Yeah. I'm telling you. This dude is legit.
This is the thing I'll do where I know somebody could beat the shit out of me if they want to fight. And we'll both know I'm backing down, but I won't say I'm backing down. I'm like, all right, so you just want to do this? All right, okay, this is what we're going to do. All right.
You just got to be loud so the COs come.
Yeah.
That's how you avoid the fight in jail.
You need Rick Ross to step
in,
dog.
Exactly, right? Yeah, yeah. Oh, you trying to stab me?
Nah, man. Ben Simmons is a delightful young light-skinned player for the 76ers.
He's playing tough, though. Did you see him drop Wade on that pick?
No, dude.
This guy got fucking...
All Ben
Simmons
fuck
is a
around,
large...
Dog.
He
might not.
He's a big dude, a nimble dude, has great handle.
I never met an Aussie who was afraid to fight.
Well, you want to fight, Mike?
You don't want it with James Johnson.
No.
Nobody in the league wanted with James Johnson.
No.
He's got a trained fighter.
Yeah, Ben Simmons is not soft by any means. I'm not trying to call the man soft by
putting him
in the no smoking section. But a man that knows karate, who has an undefeated MMA
record.
My
man still listens to DMX.
With cornrows.
Yeah. he got a Rough Rider shirt in his locker room right now.
Yeah. And like when we tweeted it, I tweeted like, yeah, you know, he doesn't want any smoke with him. He has a real black belt, yada, yada, yada. It's like, oh, so what's he going to do, roundhouse kick him in the game?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Like, it's possible.
Yeah.
Like,
and this is,
I've seen it happen.
This is James Johnson in his best shape of his life.
Yeah.
Like, he used to be an alcoholic up in Toronto, and then Pat Riley got him in fucking shape. Like, this guy lost probably 20 pounds.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, like, he used to be
so
really
he's in
drinking.
Fighting weight right now.
He's ready to go. He hadn't been in this.
He can come off the street and weigh in.
Son, let's go. Who won it? Like, it's time for James Johnson.
Here's what we all know about Pat Riley. Not only will he change your life, but also, he don't mind you fighting.
That's true.
Supportive of fighting.
That's Pat true. Riley likes a physical basketball
Absolutely.
Team.
Absolutely.
He ain't going to tell James Johnson to back off.
No, just like he didn't tell Wade not to throw that kid on the fucking ground. It's like, Wade chucked the kid on the ground.
They said that going into game three, too, or game four. I forgot which game it was. But they were like, yeah, you know, we're probably going to need to be a little bit more physical and fight. Like, even if we get a technical, like, so be it.
That's what it
and
is.
Pat Riley is going to reward
he'll
that behavior.
Dirty up a game, man. He don't care.
He's an 80s guy, dog. Dude, like,
old school.
Like, dog,
cocaine NBA. Let's go. Let's
He's like, you call this a little skirmish?
Yeah, skirmish.
Bro.
And I'll tell you how you know James Johnson is somebody you don't fuck with. And this is another example of the flagrant 2 effect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Andrew.
So I tweet. I didn't tweet. I comment on the video.
Oh, yeah.
I comment. I go, James Johnson is not the one.
And who liked it?
And then I see.
Friend of the show.
And then I see a like from a friend of the show. A great friend of the
great
show.
Friend.
Somebody whose career we have inspired to greatness through the flagrant
really
2
just
effect.
Ascended him to a new level.
To a new
and
level.
Mind you.
I mean, slandered him into 30-point games.
Mind you, we you know, there's a lot of NBA players that watch the show that comment and all this other stuff. But we like to keep it, you know.
Under wraps. We don't need to talk about all of them.
But this one was very newsworthy. For obvious reasons. Andy.
Austin Rivers out there looking at the gram. Austin Rivers out there paying attention to the show. Like, we know what's up.
You know,
okay?
Bro.
And we're glad that we inspired you, because what did we always say on the show before we were trashing the fuck out of you? Mm. We said, we saw you in high school.
Yes. I was an Austin Rivers fan in high school.
Who was it? Even at Duke. Who was it? We're like, yo, this kid is going to cook.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we said, you are letting us down.
Mm.
And then what did he do after that?
Smoked them.
30-point games.
Got rid of Chris Paul. Got rid of Blake Griffin.
He said, I need more touches,
He's
Pops.
He's like, you know what, Pop?
He's flagging
the
two boys
now.
As well. I'm the captain. I'm full Somalian, bro.
And he cooked, full. Man. So shout out to Austin Rivers, friend of the show. You know what I'm saying?
Keep
it tight.
Hey, we're there. Whenever you struggle, we're there to tell you ain't shit. That's our promise to you,
bro,
Austin.
We'll be there
season opener this year to make sure you come out the
gate.
Give
us courtside seats. Let us heckle you into greatness, man.
All we want you to do is be great, Austin. Be great.
Guys, I think we got to wrap up because there's somebody here at 7 o'clock.
Oh, shit.
So
right,
we
got
to go.
Up,
yo, this is a short episode all because of Alex.
Shout out to Alex. No, I was kidding.
Shout out to Alex for ruining it.
But, we were talking about, you know, the way people can get content without being, you know.
Oh, let's go into that next week when
next
we have
week?
Some more time to flesh that out. And let's
gotcha.
See. Yeah, because there's something percolating right now. And I think as it starts to play itself out into the world, we'll have a better idea of what we should say. But we have a great idea how we want to build with you guys, the Flagrant 2 fans.
And the Army's been, like, asking for it, too.
Son,
like, they
the Army's
want to support
been
it.
Asking
so it's
for
like,
it.
You know,
and
we're going to give it what you want.
Sometimes, like we said, the ecosystem forces you into certain situations that will benefit in your life. And we had a great story about Kaz last week. They're like, so many people reached out about and they were really inspired about. And, you know, oftentimes on this show, we come here, we just joke so much and there's so much levity going on in our lives. But, you know, and we almost forget that, like, what we're able to do can be inspiring to other people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's something that's very important to us. It's very important to us to obviously follow our dreams and have these things happen and achieve them and live them. And, you know, we're doing that right now as we speak. And people were really touched by your story, Kaz. And I think what happens is sometimes you see these dark moments, and these dark moments open up to, like, more brighter moments than have ever existed in the past.
Yeah.
But you need that darkness to kind of see it. And I think we might be in one of those situations right now. But there could be something very beautiful and powerful to come.
Oh, I'm positive it will be.
Yeah. I'm very excited for it. And again, just like in your situation, just like past situations like myself, you know, with the special and then not being able to sell it and then starting to put it out myself, put out the stand up myself, and then all of a sudden having, you know, selling out these shows and people coming out.
Yep.
I think that I'm being pushed in this direction. Hopefully you guys are being pushed in direction to make this move. And I think the audience is really going to enjoy it.
I think they would it, man.
Next week when we get the, we're going to cross the, you know, T's and dot the I's and do the whole things before we announce it. But next week, I'm very fucking excited to share with you guys. And like, yeah, let's create something really special, man. I'm really excited. And something that nobody can touch. That is the goal with content. Now, if you want real, raw, flagrant, true content,
mm-hmm.
independent from all the bullshit out there on fucking Twitter, independent from Twitter harassment and people calling for your name and people calling for all that, you got to go right to the fucking people.
Yeah.
You have a direct plug, direct source, and I think that we have a connection that's powerful enough to make that happen right here.
We've been doing this show since what, like September?
Mm-hmm. NFL season.
Since that's the NFL season. So I think, and it's like, this is your show too. This is just as much the people listening in the offices or the auto shops or wherever the hell you're listening at. Like, this is just as much your show as it is our show. So we're trying to do something really special for you guys coming up. So we'll talk
next
about
week.
That
tune
next
week. Fucking, we got some fucking ideas, man.
Yes, sir.
I'm excited about. Yes, sir, man. Anything to plug?
To plug. Damn, do I have anything to plug? Duce Palooza, May 19th, Hammerstein Ballroom. Come through. Tickets are almost sold out. VIP is definitely sold out. We haven't even announced the DJ lineup yet, which is amazing. Also, tune into The Score every week on Uninterrupted on Spotify Spotlight every Friday. Myself, Big Wos, Meg Scoop, Taj, and yeah, that's about it, man.
I'm gonna be doing shows with Akash this weekend in Texas. Nice. Dallas is gonna be Thursday and Friday at Hyenas.
Back to Papa Doe.
There we go. Plano, Texas is gonna be Saturday, and then Sunday, Houston, Texas. You can get tickets for that at theandrewschultz.com. And then go to theandrewschultz.com for all the future tickets. London shows almost sold out. I think we got like 6 seats left for that. Thank you guys so much, London, for almost selling that out. The rest of the European tour shows you can get on theandrewschultz.com as well. I'm going to be in San Francisco the 10th through the 12th. Make sure you come out to those at the Punchline, theandrewschultz.com for that. We're adding more and more dates, man. I'm really, really excited about Views from the Sis tour. Thank you guys so much for the support, obviously. I'm just really excited for everything that's going on. Thank you guys so much for the support, and we'll see you next week so we can share this thing with you. I'm
not gonna be here. I'm gonna be hanging out with my mom. Also, my mom's excited to cook for you, Andrew.
Oh, sick!
Yes, shout out to Akash's mom, bro.
Peace, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Later.
To
next week.